Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. And here's your host, Dr. James F. Rome.
On today's program, we have David Hogan for the third time. Did you ever wonder what a disciple, a modern day disciple, should do? I mean, what do I do? I'm a Christian. I think in the long history of religion and the church is maybe we have watered that down or forgot or don't understand what a disciple should do. And in David Hogan's teaching today, as he tells some of his testimony, he goes to Matthew 10, where Jesus assigns his first disciples these things. He said, Jesus has sent them out, and he said, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that means the kingdom of heaven is here right now, right in front of you. David came from a long family of people who were religious and church-oriented, and he got tired of the hypocrisy, and he wanted the real thing, but nevertheless, he rebelled, and he came into a confrontation with God where God wanted him, wanted David for service, and David said, yes, I'll do it, but I can't be a hypocrite. So David has turned 180 degrees, and he has taken the Bible whole hog or none, and he preaches a powerful message on being a disciple. I think that this will inspire those people in the doldrums wondering, what is this Christian life about? I want more. I want to do more. And this is a program for those type of people. You need to do more. So, here he is, the wild and wonderful David Hogan.
Yeah. So did y'all do y'all's homework? There's only about six or seven directions we can go, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 21. There's a verse here I'd really like to share with y'all. Some people don't know it, evidently. Matthew 21, 22. It's an important verse. It says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. And that's an amazing verse, isn't it? Isn't that nice? It's a nice verse. We're asked by the Holy Ghost sometimes to do things that nobody else has ever done, ever. And quite regularly, we get asked to go into places and to fight with warlocks and to fight with principalities and to fight against religious demon spirits and to take them on. And they're very powerful. They're very big. They have no limit to their amount of money, their amount of power, political prestige. There's no possible way to win. But Jesus still asks us to go in and take it anyhow. We're limited in our understanding. We're overpowered. We're undermanned. But we always win. It's not possible, but we always win. And it's because everything you do, regardless of how insignificant it is, must be bathed with prayer, must be anointed with fasting, must be sought after diligently from the Lord. Okay? It may seem like it's not important, but it is important. I was asked by one of the fellows that's running around with me to share something, and I think I'm going to do that. It's a very valuable thing. I was a brand new missionary on the field. I didn't have any money. I was given a new truck, and that's a blessing. I had a couple of $100 a month coming in, and I had my wife, myself, and two children, and it's not enough money, just a couple of $100 a month, not to eat on, much less do any kind of ministry on. And I was doing it anyway. I don't suppose you can find for me in the Bible anywhere where the house of God was outnumbering their enemies. It's always where we're always the underdog. Always. And we're not used to that being Americans. We're used to being the power that be. We're used to being the one that always wins. We've always got the money. We've always got the technology. We've always got the armies. We've always got the bullets. We've always got whatever we need to win. We've got it. We've always had it. But now we're in a different army. There's a word in Spanish that we don't have in English. Proveer. We have the word to provide, but it don't mean the same thing. And at the end of Hebrews 13, it says that God will proveer His army, su ejército. And that word means a constant, continual supply of technology, weaponry, and manpower, and finances without limit. How about that? That's real good. Especially when you go out there like I do a lot, these men I work with, we've been out there forever and ever on the sides of these mountains, and we're always alone. But I've got to be able to relate to you the need to have a God that is more than enough when you're not in Brownsville, or when you're not in Toronto, when it's you and Jesus and the devil. And the devil has the territory, the devil has the army, the devil has every opportunity and option, and you have nothing but Jesus. Guess what He is? He is still Lord. I have personally been caught by terrorists a few times, and they always have the upper hand, the best weapons, and they always beat you up, and they think they're tough, and they're really sissies and chickens. And one particular time, I was in Guatemala, and I was caught, and it wasn't fun, and they was beating on me, and I don't like that. When people beat on me, it's not fun. And so I'm in the situation. It's super tense. My opportunities are zero. Nobody knows where I'm at except Jesus. And the Holy Ghost sent me an angel. This man walked out of the darkness, no weapons, little bitty guy, the most non-assuming fella I've ever met in my life. He'd come right up to me in the middle. I mean, we got the guns, they're on you, you're a dead man. And this white guy walks right up to me and taps me on the shoulder. And I'm hostile. I'm sure you would have done a better job. The only problem is you was not there. And that is a problem, right? We're going to remedy that though, right? That's what we're doing, learning. We're training for war. We're training for battle. That's what we're doing. And that guy come up there and he was irritating me to no end. He was a little bitty fellow. He didn't have any weapons. And I don't know why he was picking on me, because I had these big guys and all their guns and they was beating me. I didn't like it. I was not thinking Holy Ghost and Jesus. I was thinking survival. And so this guy's tapping me, and finally I turned on him. What do you want? He said, are you the fella that's going around through these villages and preaching Jesus, and you touch people with your hand and they get healed? I looked at him. I said, it's true that I touch people, but Jesus does the healing. And so I went back to my intensity to the problem. It didn't get through this thick skull yet what was going on here. He even mentioned the name of Jesus in healing. It still didn't get to me, because things had escalated beyond measure, I promise. And so finally he's tapping me on the shoulder again. I really don't like that. It's worse for him to tap me on the shoulder than them guys are to tapping me in the face. It's worse. And so finally I look at him, I said, yes, sir, what do you want now? He said, are you the guy that also brings the films about the life of the Lord Jesus and gives them to us for free and carries that equipment in? I said, I am the guy that does that. I carry that projector. Weighs about 30 pounds, and those mountains are tall, and I don't like to do that, but I have to anyway. I said, yeah, I'm responsible for that now. He turned right to that captain, and we're talking about a hostile environment, as bad as it gets in the world anytime. We're talking about guys that have decided what they're going to do with me. We're talking about a volatile situation that is completely out of control. There's no possible way for it to digress. It's no possible way for me to get help in the situation. It's not possible. I have settled it in my mind and heart. Okay, I'm going to die. Let's make it good. And so this fellow turns right to the captain and says, let him go. He's a good guy. I mean, you got a little bitty fellow, no weapons at all. He's not impressive at all. And the captain, he never said a word. And he said, I really think you ought to let this guy go. He's helping our people. He takes nothing from them, but He gives to them. They come in and preach out of a book, and people are healed. Lives are changed. Families are reunited. And he asks for nothing in return. And that guy, the little captain there, he says, "Tenga buen viaje. Have a nice trip." Isn't that something? That's pretty interesting. But that's not all he said. Somebody want to interpret what I'm fixing to say, please? Dude, stand up, please. Okay. He said, "No." That's not what we're going to do. He said to me in English, he said to me in Spanish, here's what he said. I want you to interpret it in English. He said, "Okay, thank you very much." Sí. Señor David, la próxima vuelta a mi país, por favor atraer este Señor Jesucristo a mi gente. What about that? All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall have them. Before that will work for you, you've got to come out of immature thinking and lustful thinking. You've got to begin to think for the kingdom of God and the prosperity of God's house. Because if God's house prospers, you will prosper. It's called trust in heaven. That's what it's called. Simple things. In the beginning, we had nothing. I had a baby, and I didn't have enough money to buy a gallon of milk. Simple things. $2 for a gallon of milk. It's not possible. It's not there. I went to the mailbox, like a lot of us do sometimes. We worship that little square. Money comes out of that hole sometimes. But this particular day, it didn't cough up a thing. One letter from a little grandma. So I get home, I throw my stuff down. My wife said, "Well, you know, I need a bottle for the baby." My wife is not my enemy. The devil is my enemy. I'm not her enemy. The devil is her enemy. Sometimes that gets kind of blurry. You want the truth, right? Okay. So I sit down over there, and she's cooking me a meal. We had one meal left for us and no bottles for the baby. We had already sold all of our Coke bottles and stuff and got all the money for them. Didn't have anything left. Don't know anybody down there in that part of the world where we were. And in that letter, this little old grandma said, "I am so sorry that I can't help you more. But just maybe with this $2, you can buy a gallon of milk." Wow, that's pretty nice. I've got to do this. We're going to Matthew chapter 10. Is that all right? My family and I fast. We seek heaven in a way that is unprecedented. I don't know a whole lot of people that do this particular way. We believe it's right to get a hold of heaven and hang on to it. Every day for the last 20 some odd years, I have been that when I'm home, I get up usually between about 4:15 and 5:30. And I sit down with my kids. They all get up. Ever since they was brand new born, they all get up with me, every one of them. And we sit together between 1.5 and 2.5 hours. Then they start their day, do their school, do their workouts, do their, so do I. I'm usually fixing my truck and working out, fix my truck, and then I go to church. Every day, 7 days a week, we do that. We seek heaven. Do you understand what we do? We seek heaven together as a family. Jesus. I don't receive any credit for what I do. It's Jesus that does everything. I'm just learning how to submit to Him, that's all. And it's not through conventional means. It's not through what somebody else thinks is right. It's through what my King Jesus did when He came here. He didn't even start ministry until He had gone in the desert and fasted for 40 days and fought with the devil. And had angels minister to him. Isn't that something? That's something to me. Okay, I'm going to go for it. Here we go. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to use two verses, and I'm going to really burn these things up a few minutes. Verse 7. I enjoy preaching out of here probably as much as anywhere else I preach, these two verses, 7 and 8. This is fun to me to preach this, because that list in verse 8 there, I can hold you here for weeks talking about the miracles of people. Every part of the human body healed or recreated. What's the first phrase in verse 7? As you, what? Go. I think Jesus just put that phrase in there. As you go, comma, what you going to do when you get there? What are you going to preach? You're going to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. You hear me? Hello. You're not going to preach America. You're not going to go there with goofy, traditional, stupid religion. You're not going to go there to show the ignorant people of a third world country how stupid and they need more technology. That's not what they need. They need Jesus. They're not ignorant. When all the stock markets in the world crash, you know who's going to be eating and you know who's going to be starving? They're going to be eating and you're going to be hungry. They may not know trigonometry, but they can look outside and say, it's time to plant. And I look and I say, how'd you know that? And they go and they cut off a little piece of jungle and they burn it and they put a few seeds in the ground and all of a sudden rains come. How'd they know that? They just know. Just like you know when the thing's out of gas, you got to go get some more and put it in there. They don't know when my truck runs out of diesel. They wonder why I stop at them things anyway. They don't know that. And I'm not teaching them that. I am not sent to teach them how a Ford truck runs. I am sent to teach them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. As you go, comma, preach, comma, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we're going into some command form words here. I didn't know all this stuff till I went and learned some different languages. Look at this next verse. You are not, Jesus is not asking you if you are not sick, you can do it. He's not saying to you, if it feels good to you, if your emotions are in agreement, if the circumstances are in agreement, he said, heal the sick. That's what my Bible says. It says in my Bible, cleanse lepers. It says in my Bible, here we go, see, look, raise the dead. Same command form. How do you know it's the will of God to pray for somebody that's got a headache? Well, I'm finna come back on you with that stupid here. It is the will of God to pray for people that are dead no matter what you feel. Yahoo. You can't talk to me like that. Oh, yes, I can. Because the Bible says, third phrase down, to raise the dead, just like it says heal the sick. Just like it says cleanse the lepers, and just like it says cast out devils. But you'll grab a hold of somebody that's got some kind of sickness, and you may even every now and then grab a hold of a devil from this direction. But you'll run from those dead people. What's the matter with you? What are you losing? But what if? What if's your devil? We won't discuss that. It's not your responsibility to do the actual healing. It's your responsibility to go. It's your responsibility to preach the kingdom of heaven. And it's your responsibility to put your hand on that sick person, that dead person, that leper, or that demon possessed. It's God's job by the Holy Ghost to do the rest. Okay? We've had a couple of hundred people get up from the dead. We've prayed for several thousand that haven't. How can you keep going? Because it says to keep going. It doesn't say what, whether your percentage is good or bad. It just says do it. Okay? It doesn't matter if you know anybody that's ever done it before. I felt bad the first few times I did it because I'd never met anybody that done that before. I come up here to the United States, start talking about it. So I didn't talk about it one time when I come up here. I just... Thanks, fine. See you later. Then I got mad at y'all. I didn't come back for several years. Best thing ever happened to me. No, I'm serious. I stayed in those mountains for, I think it was either 3 or 4 years. I only came to the border to get new papers and go right back in. Wouldn't even go see family, nothing. Forget it all. Hey, I was mad. Bunch of devils anyway. And then the work grew beyond what I could do. Now what am I going to do? And then I happened to bump into the verse in Proverbs, that says, where there are no oxen, crib stays clean, but there's much increase by the strength of the ox. So, buy you a shovel and shut up. Clean that stall, but keep those oxen moving. So I changed. I repented. I came back to my, I said, I need help. And people begin to come and the work just took off. Okay. As you do what? What you going to do when you get there? What are you going to preach? And after you've become completely in the will of God, what are you going to do next in verse 8? After you heal the sick, what else are you going to look for? After you raise the dead or cleanse lepers, what are you going to do? Why? Because freely you've been given. Now give it up. That's what it says. So that's what we're going to do. How many of y'all have ever been in a village where you walk into a hut, you can't see, there's no electricity in the daytime. And you walk in, and it's supposed to be somebody here for me to pray for. It was a bunch of us. And you can't see them because your eyes are accustomed to the light, not the dark. So you're looking around, and there's nobody there. You think, I wonder why they sent me in here. And somebody grabs you on the pant leg, and you look down, right beside me was this little bittiest woman I've ever seen in my life, that tall. But she wasn't little bitty, because for 15 years, her legs have been frozen straight out and curled backwards. For 15 years, she's been at half stature. And when I looked at her, she started smiling, a couple teeth are missing, just the most, one of the most awesome pictures you'll ever see. It's wonderful. She just smiled at me. She wasn't mad. She was glad. She said, because they told me, they told me that if you'll put your hand on my head, I could walk again. I said to her, they told you right. But it's not me. It's Jesus. She said, how do I get to know that man? I said, it's real simple. So what I did is took my Bible and I did what I'm commanded to do. Do you agree that I had gone? I'm scriptural. So now I got to do the next step. I got to preach. So I told her, you're in great fortune because today the kingdom of God has come to your house. She said, where is it? I said, you're looking at it. I am an ambassador from the greatest king ever was. And he sent me here to tell you that if you will bow to him, he will heal you. She said, okay. You see a few of these things like I have, it makes you like me. So that little old lady, it was wonderful to lead her to Jesus. She never heard of him before. She met him only 10 minutes ago. How much can you tell a person in 10 minutes? Not very much. It isn't the amount that matters. It isn't even the greatness of your speech. It has nothing to do with your fancy big old words. It has to do with the man of the words being with you. This is wonderful, the things I get to do. You reach over like this, and you touch little grandma on the head, and then everybody goes back, because everybody's eyes are getting big. You know why? Those two legs begin to move by themselves. Those 15-year frozen legs moved around and came up under grandma, and she stood up right in front of me. Yeah. You should see that. You really should. We've seen it quite a bit. Y'all have all kind of fancy names for the things we do. We just believe it says heal the sick. Okay. Don't cloud it. Don't complicate it. Don't. You'll stay confused your whole life and won't do anything. Just, he said go. Okay, let's go. What's that? Load up. Get in the truck. Let's go. Just go. Let's do it. And so you go. He's right what he said about me being here, submit, no problem. But when we're there, it's different. So, if you get to come to our work, you get up in my pickup truck, it's a crew cab. What's important to me is that that stereo turns up loud enough that I can't hear what you have to say. Or I can worship Jesus on the way to church, and I ain't got to hear garbage. I don't care. I do care about you, I really. But the filth that America thinks that they are in control of everything and that they, that you think you have to say, and you feel like it's almost a works thing with you. It's not. It's a Jesus thing. It's a mercy thing. It's a grace thing. It's an obedience thing. It's submit to Him with prayer and fasting. And He said, I will be with you, lo, until the end of the earth. So it doesn't. It feels great to be here. Thank y'all for letting me come. I like it. I like to be around people that love Jesus and are radical. Ooh, feels good. But if you're out there on that motorcycle, you get stopped by devils and they want to kill you, it doesn't make any difference. He's still with me. What has changed? Geography? Circumstances? Has Jesus fallen off the throne? Or is He still in control here? Come on now. Is He the right or wrong? It's right. Verse 7 says a pretty profound thing. You want to read it with me? Of Matthew chapter 10. It says, as you what? What are you going to do?
Preach.
What are you going to preach? And then what are you going to do? Raise the dead, cleanse lepers. Oh, whew, the list goes on and on. Y'all are a lot prettier than I am. Y'all are a lot smarter than I am. But that don't matter at all. What matters is Jesus. What matters is obedience to Jesus, regardless of the circumstance. Yeah.
I long to see my Savior
face,
and sing the story saved by grace.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can get in touch with Dr. Jim Rome, or you can contact today's guest by logging on to globalairforce.net. That's globalairforce.net. Would you like to have Jim Rome come to your group, church, or special event? Dr. Rome is interested in hearing from you. You can call Global Air Force at 412-466-5655. That's Global Air Force at 412-466-5655.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding KK1.